Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Last night, I dreamed of Louis Destocker. He never wanted to be king. He never wanted to be the champion. He only ever wanted to do his duty, to protect the innocent and punish the guilty. But he fell in love with his best friend's fiancée, and was in turn betrayed by another friend. They took away his good name and made him an outlaw. I saw him gather friends and allies and set out to raise an army to overthrow the forces of evil, like another Deathstalker before him. And I wanted to warn him that heroes have a tendency to die young and bloody. I saw old friends return from the past, and legends walk in history once more. Stories left unfinished have a way of enforcing their own endings. In my dream, I saw planets burning in the long night, and armies of the dead overrunning the cities of men. All in a dream, and all so very long ago. Or maybe it was just yesterday. All stories come to an end. In time.
Simon R. Green's Deathstalker Coda. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Michael Glenn, David Coyne, Vanessa Benjamin, Corey James, M.B. Van Dorn, Sonny Lasky, Ken Jackson, Nanette Savard, Bruce Rauscher, James Konacek, Tess Rowan, Chris Rowan, Jeff Baker, Peter Stray, Thomas Penny, Michael John Casey, Lily Beacon, Karen Carbone, Barbara Pinolini, Michael Replogle, Thomas Penny, and Mort Shelby. Episode 1, Armies and Forces, Gathering Strength.
Owen Deathstalker was in a coma, and everyone else was panicking. On the planet Hayden, deep down in the man-made crater called the Pit, in the steel corridors men had built to surround and contain the Madness Maze, a lot had happened in a short time. That renowned hero and legend Owen Deathstalker had returned from the dead, walked out of the maze with his descendant Louis, worked a number of quite remarkable miracles, and then gathered up the minds of everyone present to take a fast trip across space in order to observe the terror close up. Unfortunately, that most ancient and awful destroyer of worlds and civilizations turned out to be, in some as yet unexplained way, Owen's long-lost love, Hazel Dark. Now everyone was back in their right bodies again, but Owen was curled up in a fetal ball, eyes squeezed tight shut, dead to the world, and floating about 3 feet above the gleaming steel floor. Everyone else had since given themselves up to alarm and confusion, and trying very hard not to wet themselves. As Jessamine was fond of saying, some days things wouldn't go right if you put a gun to their head. The AIs of Shub were the only ones to remain calm and unruffled, though admittedly it was hard to tell the difference between a calm and an excited robot when they all had featureless blue steel faces. Still, for the moment, half a dozen of them were surrounding Owen's hovering body in an honor guard, and politely but firmly refusing to let anyone get too close. This followed an understandable but regrettable incident where Brett Random had climbed onto Owen's body and pounded on his chest with both hands, shrieking, "Wake up, you bastard!" The renowned con man, thief, and famed substance abuser was now striding up and down the corridor.
"I always knew no good would come of meddling with the Madness Maze. Wait a minute. Wait just one goddamn minute. Is everyone who's gone through the Madness Maze going to turn into a terror eventually? Are we all going to end up as galaxy-devouring monsters? Why is everyone looking at me like that? It's a reasonable question."
"It's a totally unnerving question, and quite probably the last thing I need to think about right now. Aren't things bad enough as they are? Oh, I can feel one of my headaches coming on."
The blonde diva's famously beautiful face had gone all blotchy with shock and stress, and she'd clasped both her hands together in front of her to stop them from trembling. Louis tried to put a comforting arm across her shoulders.
"Oh,
and she shrugged him off almost angrily as she glared at the comatose Owen.
Damn you, Owen bloody Deathstalker! You can't just drop a bombshell like that on us and then run off to hide inside yourself! Wake up! Lewis, make him wake up!
Don't look at me. I'm the idiot who thought coming here might actually help us with our problems. Instead, we seem to have acquired a whole bunch of new ones.
Lewis leaned back against the metal wall, his muscular arms folded across his barrel chest, his famous ugly features creased in thoughtful lines.
If the Terror really is or was Hazel Dark, if that is what the maze's power finally turns you into, then I may have made a real error of judgment in bringing Owen back from the dead. We could end up with two Terrors on our hands. And I think I'd like to go and sit down in a corner and cry for a while, if that's all right with everyone.
Oh, no, you don't! You got us into this mess. It's up to you to get us out of it.
Maybe if we were to put Owen back into the maze, maybe that would freeze him as he is or something.
I don't think that would work.
It might. We could push him or tug him or...
No, I meant, I don't think the maze works that way. Once it's finished with someone, it shoves them right out the nearest exit. Goodbye, off you go, don't forget to write. Remember?
No, I don't remember anything about being in the maze. I don't think it wanted me to. Only death stalkers get to know the secrets of the maze.
I could always kill Owen.
Everyone turned to look at Rose Constantine. She looked calmly back at them, standing unnaturally still and poised as she always did, the tall, cold killer in her blood-red leathers, with dark hair and darker eyes. Her crimson mouth moved in something like a smile as she contemplated murder.
When in doubt, cutting your enemy's head off and using it as a football usually puts an end to most problems. I can do it if you want. I'm not scared of Owen Deathstalker.
Yes, but that's because you're a psychopath. Even in a coma, the Deathstalker is still undoubtedly the most dangerous thing you'll ever meet.
I know. I like a challenge. Just the thought of killing the legendary Owen Deathstalker gets me all hot.
I want to go home. I don't belong here. I really don't.
One of the Shub robots stepped forward.
In any case, we would not allow you to try to harm the Deathstalker. He is under our protection, now and always. We owe him so much. You are all becoming unduly concerned. There is no evidence to suggest that anyone other than Hazel Dark will ever become a Terror. We were among the last to see her alive 200 years ago, and she was then already half mad with loss and grief. Only an insane mind, backed by the maze's power, could become something like the Terror.
And I wouldn't let you touch him either.
Everyone jumped at the voice. They had forgotten John Silence was in the room. The man who was once Captain Silence of the old Imperial Navy, and more recently Samuel Chevron, notable traitor and confidant of kings, was actually rather quiet and ordinary-looking, considering who he was and all the legendary things he'd done. He tended to blend into the background at gatherings, and preferred it that way.
May I remind you all that there is at present a fleet of hundreds of Imperial Star Cruisers in orbit over this world? They came here to wipe us all out, and only the appearance of the Blessed Owen Deathstalker stopped them. The captains of those ships are currently waiting for him to tell them what to do next, and I really don't think they're going to settle for anyone but him. I wouldn't.
Lewis had stopped listening. He studied Owen's floating form and calm face, and made himself consider a number of unpalatable thoughts. He didn't know what he'd expected would happen once he'd brought Owen back from the dead, but this certainly wasn't it. He'd hoped that having Owen back would help sort things out, make his way clearer. But Owen would know immediately what to do, would step forward to take over. Then Lewis could set aside the responsibility he'd so reluctantly shouldered. But instead, now he had even more things to worry about, most definitely including the possibility that what Owen had just discovered had been too much for him, a shock too great for even a legendary hero to bear. Lewis quietly moved over to the main Shub robot.
He could be catatonic. He could even be dying again.
That thought had occurred to us. We have been attempting to investigate the Deathstalker's condition with every sensor at our command. But we have to admit that even our most advanced tech has been unable to tell us a thing about him. To be blunt, since his transformation in the maze, and indeed his return from the dead, which we are really hoping you're going to explain to us someday, Owen Deathstalker has apparently become so different, so other, that he doesn't even register on most of our instruments. What readings our sensors are getting make no sense at all. We are forced to conclude that Owen is no longer human, in any sense that we can understand. If you have any suggestions as to how we should proceed, Lewis, we are quite ready to listen to them.
I've got one very immediate suggestion. Can some of your robots please drag the Reptiloid's body out of here? She didn't smell that good even when she was alive. And ever since Owen ripped her heart right out of her chest, the smell has become seriously revolting. I'm sure we'd all think much more clearly without the distraction.
Two more robots appeared and effortlessly dragged Saturday's body away and around a corner, leaving a trail of dark blood behind them.
I really think we should make every reasonable effort to wake Owen before every captain in the fleet above us starts knocking on our door demanding answers.
Why don't you do something, Silence? You're one of the original Maze people, like Owen. Weren't you all supposed to have some mental link? The legend said
that... The legend said a lot of things. And Owen and I were never that close.
Let me try. I've been through the maze. And I'm family.
Lewis looked at the robots surrounding Owen, and they all stepped back a pace to give him room. Lewis knelt down beside Owen, putting his head right next to his ancestor's. The floating body rose and fell slightly, as though moved by unseen, unknown tides.
Owen, please wake up. We need you here. There are decisions that have to be made, and we can't do anything without you. Owen, can you hear me? Damn it, Owen! I didn't bring you back from the bloody dead just so you could hide from your responsibilities like this. You're a Death Stalker and a legend, and we need you.
Not a flicker of response moved on Owen's face. Jessamine pulled Lewis back out of the way and stuck her mouth right next to Owen's ear.
Jesus!
Jessamine had put all her opera training and lung capacity into that note, and everyone else present except the robots had winced and put their hands to their ears, but Owen didn't so much as twitch.
Wake up, you worthless piece of a...
Lewis dragged her away before the robots did it, shielding her body with his own, just in case there was a defensive reaction from Owen. Brett was already hiding behind Rose, but nothing happened.
Oh, I hurt my hand.
Brett peered out from behind Rose and tried his S power of compulsion on Owen. He frowned hard, trying to force Owen to wake up, vaguely hoping that his short time in the maze might have increased his power. Instead, the mental probe just bounced right back at him. Lewis looked at him suspiciously.
Brett, did you just do something stupid?
Leave him alone.
Rose hauled Brett back onto his feet with effortless grace.
At least he's trying.
Yes, I've always found Brett very trying.
Brett, using an S-probe on a maze survivor is like poking a Grendel with a stick and saying bad things about its mother. Bad news for the idiot that does it, and probably everyone else around him as well. Maybe you should go back to the surface, Brett.
Oh, no! You're not shutting me out of this! There's safety in numbers, even if it only gives you a better choice of who to stick in front of you as a target. Besides, there's serious money to be made out of the return of Owen Deathstalker, if we could just wake him up. And I'm not being cheated out of my share. I'm not going, and you can't make me.
Brett, even I could make you.
Brett folded his arms and leaned back against Rose, looking smug.
You want to bet, Blondie?
Rose let her hand rest on the hilt of her sword. Lewis's hand went to his sword, and it was all about to turn nasty when Silence decided he'd had enough. He concentrated, pulling his old power up through the back brain, the midbrain, and out into the front of his thoughts. And suddenly, his presence lashed out to fill the steel corridor. The sheer force of the blast sent everyone staggering backward, even the robots. In a moment, they were all pressed back against the nearest wall, held there by the sheer pressure of his will, pinned helplessly. Only Owen seemed unaffected, floating untouched and unmoved. Silence glared around him.
When I talk, you listen. I was a captain in Lionstone's Navy. I survived the original rebellion. I guarded humanity for 200 years. I went through the madness maze twice. I could have been as powerful as the others, but I was never interested in that kind of power. It always seemed more important to me to hang on to my humanity. So, no more squabbling and sensible suggestions only. Or I'll forget I'm supposed to be one of the good guys.
He relaxed his thoughts. And everyone dropped back onto the floor again. They all looked at him with varying amounts of awe and respect.
They'd forgotten, in the presence of Owen Deathstalker, that Captain John Silence had been a legend, too. After that, no one else seemed to have anything to say, so they all just stood there and watched Owen float, waiting for something to happen.
He looks so ordinary, just sleeping, even if he is doing it in midair. And we need him to be extraordinary. Nothing less will do to stop Finn Durandal in the Terror. What if I've made a terrible mistake and brought back only a man, not a legend?
Jessamine was also thinking about mistakes. For once, Brett had raised a genuinely important point, even if it was something no one really wanted to think about. Going into the maze would change them. They'd all known that. But the possibility of becoming monsters, of becoming something utterly inhuman, like the Terror, there had been nothing in the legends about that. What if they all started to change, to outgrow their merely human forms? Might they all end up like the abominations in the maze's annex, or even like the poor distorted creatures they'd found on Chandrakor? Jessamine hugged herself tightly, as though trying to hold herself together against as yet unfelt forces of change within her.
I don't want to change. I don't want to be a monster or a legend. I only went into the maze because I couldn't let Lewis go in alone. What if we both change, but in different ways? What if we become people we don't even recognize anymore? Captain Silence, what the maze has done to us, can it be undone? If we went back in again, could the maze make us just human again, the way we used to be?
No. Evolution is a one-way track. The butterfly cannot turn back into the caterpillar. But you mustn't be frightened, Jessamine. I've lived with my powers for over 200 years, and I like to think the old Captain Silence would still know me and approve of me. It's not all bad. Children find the ways of adults mysterious and incomprehensible, and fear to grow up. And then they do, and wonder what all the fuss was about.
One more strange metaphor from you, and I'll nail you to the wall with an aria. I get the point, all right?
The Owen I talked with back in Mistport seemed very human, in every way that mattered. I liked him.
Lots of people did. And even his enemies respected him.
The stories say much the same about Hazel Dark, but what those two went through in the maze still drove them apart for all their legendary love.
But they never admitted their love for each other.
Idiots.
To be fair, there was a war on. We always thought there'd be time afterwards to say all the things we wanted to say. And most of us were wrong. We all lost people we cared for in the wars.
Brett gave Rose a considering look.
Do you feel any different yet? Do you feel any powers coming on?
No.
Rose didn't look up from polishing her sword with a piece of rag.
But then I wasn't in the maze for long. It didn't want me. I could feel it inside my mind trying to change all the things that make me me. But I wouldn't give in. I could feel myself breaking up, being torn apart. The maze was killing me.
She looked at Brett suddenly, and he almost jumped. It was never an easy thing to face Rose's cold, considering gaze.
You saved my life by bringing me out, Brett. I'll never forget that. Wherever you go and whatever you decide to do, I'll always be with you.
Wonderful. So, do you feel any more sane now?
No, not particularly.
Oh, I don't know why I don't just shoot myself in the head now and get it over with.
John Silence moved off away to be on his own and studied the sleeping Owen. For 200 years, Silence had been the only maze survivor in the Empire. Tobias Moon had disappeared on Lacrimae Christi, and Carrion had become an Ashrai. Now, Owen was back from the dead, and Silence had to wonder if other ghosts from his past might return to haunt him. The dead should stay dead, and allow the living to get on with their lives. That was at least partly why he'd stopped being John Silence, and became the much less important Samuel Chevron. But now Owen was back, and there was a whole bunch of new maze alumni.
For all his encouraging words to Jessamine, Silence was still trying to decide whether that was a good thing or not.
He felt relieved, because it meant he didn't have to shoulder the responsibility of being humanity's guardian alone anymore, but there was no denying Owen's great discovery about the Terror had changed everything.
Brett was right. We all have monsters within us. And the kind of power the maze bestows could find and feed the monster in anyone, eventually.
Though truth be told, Silence had never much liked or trusted Hazel Dark back in the day. The first batch of maze survivors had changed everything. They overthrew an empress, converted the AIs of Shub, and restored the recreated. They made the Golden Age possible. But that was different people in a different time. Silence approved of Lewis, and to an extent, Jessamine, but he didn't like or trust Brett Random or Rose Constantine. They were both dangerous, and not in a good way. Silence scowled thoughtfully. It might be kinder for humanity to kill them both now, or they still could be killed.
But he knew he couldn't do that. They had to have their chance, like Jack Random and Ruby Journey, who both came good in the end.
And there was always Lewis.
When all else fails, trust a Deathstalker to do the right thing.
Owen wasn't actually in a coma. He'd shut himself down, turned his thoughts inwards, so that he could take some time out to think things through, without interruption. He had a lot to think about, little of it good. He replayed in his mind the scattered memories he'd picked up during his brief mental contact with the Terror, Hazel Dark's memories.
He watched again as she received the news of his death, alone on the bridge of the Sunstrider, after the defeat of the Recreated.
What about Owen? Where's Owen?
I'm sorry, Hazel. Owen is dead.
His heart ached for her as she seemed to shrink and crumple under the weight of the news. She curled up in her command chair like a child, hugging her knees to her chest. He couldn't remember ever seeing her cry before, and then she uncurled abruptly. She worked the control panels with angry, awkward hands, and the Sunstrider sped away, alone into the dark, speeding faster and faster, as though trying to leave the terrible news behind her. And Owen listened as she spoke aloud the words she'd never found the courage to say to him in person.
Oh, Owen. I never told you I loved you.
It was probably right there and then that her mind began to fall apart. She'd been through so much already, and this was just one blow too many. Torn and shattered by pain and misery, she stalked back and forth on the bridge as her ship plunged aimlessly through hyperspace. The air slammed and rippled around her as the energies of her slowly disintegrating mind ran loose. And there was no telling what she might have done or what might have happened next if Shub hadn't contacted her. The main view screen on the bridge came suddenly alive, showing a stylized silver face, and Hazel looked at it with distracted, fever-bright eyes.
We are the AIs of Shub. Please remain calm. We no longer consider ourselves the enemies of humanity, but rather your newfound friends. Our eyes have been opened, and wish only to serve, to make reparations for all the wrong things we did before we knew better.
And I'm supposed to believe this?
Hazel quickly scanned her sensor panels for signs of approaching Shub ships.
For centuries you've tortured, maimed, and killed, and now just like that I'm supposed to trust you and your good intentions?
We know we have much to prove. Let us help you, Hazel Dark. You wish to save the Deathstalker. We wish to be of service. As the first sign of our commitment to peace, we are broadcasting to all the Empire the exact location of our homeworld. The artificial world we built to house our collective consciousness. Come to us, Hazel Dark. Be our guest, and we will bend all our thoughts to the problem of how you may yet save the Deathstalker from his tragic and undeserved fate. He saved us all through his sacrifice. The one we wronged for so long. We owe him more than can ever be repaid. Please, let us help.
And perhaps it was a mark of Hazel's growing madness and desperation that she accepted the invitation without further question, and went of her own volition to a world that had for so many years been a synonym for hell. Or perhaps she thought she had nothing left to lose. Either way, she went to Shub with all her shields down, almost defying them to attack her. The Sunstrider sank into the convoluted depths of the artificial world and docked in a temporary gravity oxygen envelope the AIs had made. Hazel emerged from her ship with a face that would have given anyone else pause, but if the AIs recognized the angry madness in her eyes, they said nothing. They made her welcome, though the concept was new to them, and led her to a place of comfort and rest. Hazel walked through the steel caverns full of savage marvels and terrible wonders, and none of it meant anything to her. She was already too far gone to focus on anything but the need that cried and wailed within her to find and save Owen, whatever the cost. Nothing else mattered to her, certainly not her own death. The only part of her that really mattered had died with Owen. Shub made her as comfortable as she would allow and considered her problem. And that was as far as the memories went. Owen had had to break off mental contact with the Terror almost as soon as he'd established it. The entity had been too big, too alien, too irredeemably other for him to bear more than the very briefest of contacts. Hazel had changed, or been changed, almost beyond comprehension by the countless centuries that had gone into the Terror's making. She, or it, was old, very old. So terribly ancient, the word itself almost lost its meaning. What the hell could Shub have suggested that Hazel would become such an abomination as this? The mind, if he could call it that, that Owen had briefly touched, had been a seething, boiling mass of hate and loss and pain, driven on by an implacable will.
Woman wailing for her demon lover. Demon wailing for its human lover.
In her own insane fashion, Hazel was still looking for her Deathstalker, no matter who and what she had to destroy along the way. And that was the awful knowledge that had driven Owen deep within his own thoughts. Had all the deaths, all the destruction of planets and populations and whole civilizations across the centuries, had all that been because of him? Deathstalker luck. Owen woke up. He sat up suddenly in midair and lowered his feet to the steel floor.
My God.
Jesus!
What happened to you?
You're lucky I was over.
Owen silenced them with a look. He was the Deathstalker, hero and legend and savior of humanity, and for a moment his presence crackled on the air like chained lightning. Even Silence had to look away. This was the Deathstalker, and when he wanted to, he could shine like the sun, too bright for mortal eyes to bear. Owen turned back to the robot.
You were there. At the beginning, I saw it. Hazel came to you for help. Came to your planet. What did you do?
The robots had no expressions on their faces and no body language, but all of them oriented exclusively on Owen.
We tried to help, Lord Deathstalker. We wanted so very badly to help. We invited Hazel Dark to come to us at Shub. She was only the second human ever permitted to come to our world, after Daniel Wolf, whom we treated so shamefully. This time, we were determined to do better. We needed to prove our worth and make atonement for all the wrongs we had done, before we were made to understand that all that lives is holy. Hazel Dark asked us how she could save you from your fate. We knew you were dead. A voice came and told us, and of the great sacrifice you had made on our behalf, a voice that none of our sensors could identify or comprehend. You had died somewhere in the past, beyond all help or hope of salvation. Hazel would not accept that. There has to be a way, she said. With all this power I've got, there must be some way to save him, to bring him back. We considered the matter for some time. Hazel ate and drank, and slept, and cried. And sometimes she ran raging through our corridors, lashing out at everything in her sight. We contained the damage as best we could, while giving the problem our full attention. Finally, an answer came to us, and we presented it to Hazel. If the Madness Maze had made it possible for Owen Deathstalker to travel back in time, into the past, then it was entirely possible that Hazel had that power too. If so, she could travel back in time, find you, and either save you or repair you. It seemed logical, though of course complicated by the problem of not knowing exactly where in space and time you were when you died. Hazel examined the idea and left. We never saw her again. And since neither you nor she ever returned, we had to assume that she had failed in her quest. It seems we were mistaken, and that we may have done a terrible thing in our eagerness to be of service. Hazel Dark did go back into the past, but much too far, losing her mind and even her identity along the way. We of Shub have to face the very real possibility that we are at least partially responsible for the creation of the Terror. For the deaths of worlds and civilizations. Our last, greatest crime against humanity.
Don't load yourself down.
There's guilt enough to go around for everyone.
Brett peered cautiously out from behind Rose.
Excuse me, but what the hell are you talking about? How could Hazel Dark become something like the Terror? For all her power, she was only ever human.
Hazel was desperate to save me. Somehow she learned how to go back in time. But she was already half crazy, and what she experienced in the long journey back must have driven her right over the edge. She didn't know exactly where to look for me, so she just kept going back and back, until finally she lost all her reason and became just this implacable, relentless thing, still searching, though it had lost all memory of what for. Poor Hazel. So alone, so lost, hurting so badly. Now she's coming back, and I have to stop her.
Well, before you go rushing off to save us all, oh mighty Deathstalker, can I just point out that we have some rather urgent and pressing problems of our own that need to be dealt with, right here and now? Namely, a fleet of hundreds of Imperial Star Cruisers in orbit right above us. I really don't think they're going to listen to the likes of us, so I think it would take a load off all our minds if you'd find the time to have a little chat with them.
You haven't changed at all, Captain.
All right. Shub, get me the fleet flagship.
Yes, Lord Owen. That would be the Havoc.
A viewscreen appeared before them, floating on the air, showing the somewhat surprised Captain Alfred Price. Tall, thin, and ascetic, they'd actually caught him chewing on a thumbnail. He swallowed hard as he made eye contact with the legendary Deathstalker, and then he rose up sharply out of his command chair to crash to attention and salute.
Captain Price, Lord Deathstalker. At your command, my lord, sir.
Relax, Captain. I'm not military and never was. Though I do seem to be in charge now. Are you ready to take my orders on behalf of the fleet?
Of course, my lord. Every captain in this fleet will follow you to hell and back.
Owen raised an eyebrow. Price certainly sounded like he meant it.
And you speak for all the captains in the fleet in this?
You are Owen. We've been waiting for your return all our lives. The fleet is yours, my lord.
And this Emperor, Finn, what about him?
Our debt to you outweighs our oath to him. Certainly we do not trust him as we trust you.
Nicely compartmentalized thinking, Captain. You'll go far. Stand ready to accept me and my party aboard your ship.
Yes, my lord. Destination?
I want to go home, to Viramond, to walk in my old standing again, and meet my present clan and family.
Captain Price swallowed hard again, and looked away for a moment, as though searching for support and strength for what he had to say next. When he finally met Owen's gaze again, his eyes were full of compassion.
I am sorry, Lord Deathstalker. Apparently the news hasn't reached your companions yet. There has been an incident on Viramond.
Lewis stepped forward to stand beside Owen, his skin prickling with a horrid presentiment.
What is it, Captain Price? What has Finn done?
Clan Deathstalker is no more. The Emperor has had them all executed. They made a brave stand, but in the end they were betrayed and butchered to the last man, woman, and child. The standing has been destroyed. I'm sorry, Lewis, Owen, but you two are all that now remains of Clan Deathstalker.
Lewis actually stumbled back a step, hurting so badly he couldn't breathe. Jessamine was quickly there to take his arm, as much to hold him up as comfort him. His harsh features worked, but no tears came. Brett and Rose looked at each other. Silence stood alone with the robots, and suddenly looked his age.
Were you and your fleet part of this butchery, Price?
No, Sir Deathstalker. The atrocity was carried out by church militant and pure humanity fanatics, led by a paragon who was revealed to be an Esper Liberation Force thrall. And no, we don't understand how that could be possible either.
Lewis turned his back on him. Jessamine went to take Lewis in her arms, but he stopped her with a look.
My family is dead. My father, my mother, all of them. Even the children. Even the children.
His hands were clenched into impotent fists at his sides, and his ugly features were twisted with more grief than they could contain. He still wouldn't cry, as though he would deny Finn at least one small victory.
They're all dead because of me. Because of Finn's hatred for me.
No, Lewis, you mustn't think that. Finn would have had to kill them all anyway eventually. He knew they would never bend the knee to him. He had to kill them because of who they were and what they represented. Because they were Deathstalkers.
The children too? How could Finn do that? He was my friend. We worked together for years. Spent weekends at my old family's stand-in. We had good times together. How could I have been so wrong about him?
He betrayed your trust. He's responsible for what he does, no one else.
I don't know what to do.
Lewis was hugging himself, as though he were cold.
My family's dead. My home destroyed. What do I do now?
When all else is lost, there's always revenge. A cold comfort, but better than none.
I will see that Yurandal dead, for all his crimes and all his betrayals.
The clan will go on. The line continues through you.
And you?
No. I have another destiny.
Lewis looked at him sharply. Owen turned away to face Captain Price on the viewscreen.
And all in a moment, his presence exploded outwards, and once again, he was standing on every bridge of every Star Cruiser in the fleet, facing their captains. His presence was vast, imposing, and so much more than human. Lewis backed away from the man still standing before the viewscreen and looked at Silence.
How does he do that?
I have no idea. And that's why he's the Deathstalker and I'm not. Now watch and listen.
Owen spoke, and every member of every crew on every ship heard him perfectly.
I am Owen Deathstalker, and you are all my descendants. My children. It seems the time has come again for war and rebellion against an unjust tyrant on a stolen throne. Finn must be brought down for your golden age to be restored. And you must do it, because I have to deal with the terror. Trust me to do that, as I trust you to do what is necessary in this war. Fight well and honorably, because you cannot defeat evil through evil methods. Go with my blessing, my children. Make me proud of you.
He shut down his presence and was suddenly just a man again, standing in front of a viewscreen. He nodded amiably to Captain Price.
John Silence will be your admiral. He shall lead the fleet under Lewis Deathstalker. I trust this is acceptable.
Of course, Lord Deathstalker. Everyone remembers John Silence and his heroic journeyings aboard the Dauntless. Welcome back among us, Admiral Silence. And Lewis Deathstalker is still an honorable man to everyone here, despite what others may have said.
There's a man who can tell which way the wind is blowing. Think I'll keep an eye on him.
Owen gestured sharply to the robots, and they shut the viewscreen down. He then wandered off away to think and brood in silence, and no one at all felt like interrupting him. After watching him respectfully for a while, the others gathered together to talk quietly among themselves. Lewis looked apologetically at Silence.
You're the only one here with any real military experience, not to mention being a living legend. You should be giving the fleet its orders, not me.
No. It has to be a Deathstalker. That name will command obedience, or even my legend would not. I can live with just being an admiral. And besides, I always work better when I had clear instructions to follow. So, Sir Deathstalker, where do we go first?
I still say Mistworld. If anyone's going to supply us with a rebel army, it's them. I mean, Imperial ships are all very well, but when it comes to down and dirty street fighting, no one does it like the Mistworlders. They've been practicing it enthusiastically on each other for generations. And they have a long tradition of conflict with the Empire, even when they were supposed to be in it.
More so now than ever. I picked up some more bad news on my way here. The Paragon Emma Steele is dead, and the whole of Mistworld is hopping mad about it. Officially, she was executed as a traitor, but since there was no public trial and execution, no one believes that. Finn is a great one for showing off the trials and deaths of his enemies. Emma Steele was much respected. Even a few months ago, there would have been riots in the streets in her name. But Finn's cracked down so hard now that no one dares.
Emma's dead? Another good friend gone. Finn must have had her shot in the back. No other way he could have taken her down. She was always so alive. She was the last honest paragon on Logris. God help the people know.
Mistworld shares your opinion. They've called Finn a liar to his face and declared themselves a rogue world again, outside of Empire control, and threatened to shoot down any ship that approaches without permission. They might just be able to pull it off, too. They may not have their fabled Esper screen anymore, but they're supposed to have all kinds of entirely illegal planetary defenses.
The nearest robot inclined its head.
The Emperor has already decided to test Mistworld's resistance. According to comm traffic we intercepted, after dealing with the situation here, Captain Price was to take 10 of his ships to Mistworld and attempt a scorching.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. No doubt Price would have got around to telling us that, eventually.
Oh, yes. When enough snow had fallen to put out the boilers in hell, I think we'd do well to keep a sharp eye on that man.
I said that! Look, we need an army, and Mistworld needs a way to strike back at Finn. We were made for each other. And where else are you going to find such an experienced force of throat-slitters, backstabbers, thugs and scum like the Mistworlders?
He may be an appalling little man, but he has a point.
Hey, what do you mean, little?
Mistworld should be only too happy to join up with us, especially when we point out we've just saved them from a scorching.
I really don't think we should mention that. We want them to be able to play nicely with the fleet personnel.
They'll jump at the chance to take on Finn, and we won't have to pay them after all.
Brett had come out from behind Rose Constantine now and was looking much happier, if not a little cocky. There was nothing like the prospect of other people fighting, so he didn't have to put him in a good mood. Besides, just get him to Mistport, and he'd disappear into the city's fabled fog so fast it would make everyone else's head spin. No more living on the run and being hunted. No more death and danger. Let the others do the hard work. There was serious money waiting to be made in Mistport. For a man with an eye for the main chance...
Get that glint out of your eye, Brett. Wherever we end up going, you're staying where I can keep an eye on you.
I don't know what you mean. It just seems to me that I am now surplus to requirements. What need has your great rebellion for a reformed thief and confidence trickster, now that you've got the blessed Owen himself to lead you?
No, I won't be going with you. This is your war to fight. I have something more important to do.
Everything else can wait! We have to bring down Finn Durandal before he destroys the whole Empire!
I have to stop the Terror, because no one else can. I'm going back in time, into the past, after Hazel. I'm going to follow her trail back, find out when and how and why she became the Terror, and see if I can stop it. Hazel Dark is my responsibility. She always was.
What? Lewis was astonished and shocked and terribly disappointed that Owen wouldn't be leading the rebellion after all. He'd secretly wanted, needed Owen to take charge, so that he wouldn't have to. He'd never wanted or felt easy with the burdens of responsibility. He'd never even wanted to be champion, and look how that turned out. Lewis felt almost sulkily let down, that after all he'd done and all he'd been through, he wasn't going to be allowed to rest. But of course he couldn't say any of that. Owen stepped forward and put a comforting hand on his shoulder.
I know, Lewis. I never wanted to be in charge either. I never even wanted to be a warrior. But events had their way with me anyway. You don't need me, Lewis. You're a Deathstalker. Just listen to your heart and your honor, and you'll be surprised how far that takes you. You'll do fine. My destiny lies in the past. The Madness Maze engineered my return, with your help, for a specific purpose. It could have found a way to bring me back long before now, if it had wanted. But I wasn't needed until now.
Hold everything. Are you saying everything we've been through is down to the Maze manipulating events?
More likely, the Maze responded to events, to get what it wanted. It's always known about the Terror. It probably even knew who and what the Terror was, but couldn't tell me until now.
Is the Maze alive?
That's a good question. I hope to find out the answer someday.
And then everyone turned sharply to look at Brett Random, who had suddenly started shaking and shuddering as though he'd just put his hand on a live wire. His whole body shook in the grasp of an invisible force. His eyes were very large, and his teeth were chattering. Everyone backed away from him except Rose, who grabbed hold of him to steady him, and then seemed to catch some of the condition herself. Her head snapped back, her eyes went wide, and then she let go of Brett and stood back. Her stance changed in subtle but unmistakable ways. Rose's head swiveled slowly back and forth, her teeth grating together.
By now, everyone else had their guns out. They knew the signs of possession. Brett relaxed all over and turned to look at Lewis. And someone else looked out of Brett's eyes.
Hello there. I speak for the Oversoul through Brett Random. He is an Esper after all, even if he's not much of one, and we all drink from the same pool. We're linked into Rose Constantine, too, through Brett, and you've no idea how unpleasant that is. Welcome back, Owen, Lord Deathstalker. Don't know if you remember me. This is Crow Jane. We did meet briefly back in the day. No? Well, never mind. I'm sure you met a lot more important people than me. Now, we need to talk.
Brett forced his mouth shut. He reached out a hand to Rose, and her hand came up jerkily to clasp onto it. Their faces contorted with a shared effort.
Get out of my head! Get out!
There was a perceptible change in the tension in the air, and then Brett's and Rose's faces suddenly looked like their own again. They both clung to each other for support. Sweat trickled down their faces from the effort of what they'd done. Lewis didn't lower his gun. Something was coming. He could feel it. There was a shimmering on the air, as of something far away coming into focus. And then, images of the Esper Crow Jane and the ecstatic called Joy appeared suddenly out of nowhere. Crow Jane was a strapping brunette in a long wine-red coat with a bandolier of throwing stars stretched across her impressive chest. Everyone recognized Joy, the last of the ecstatics, religious extremists who'd had their brains surgically altered so that they existed in a perpetual state of orgasm. Ecstatics were famous for their expanded consciousness, prophetic statements, and extremely disturbing smiles. Joy was the last of the ecstatics because Finn had had all the others hunted down and killed, quite possibly because he didn't like the idea of anyone knowing more than he did. Joy wore a simple white tunic, badly, and his gaze looked slightly out of focus. Crow Jane looked disgustedly at Brett and Rose.
This would have been so much simpler if you just let us speak through you. Would it have killed you to be cooperative for once in your nasty little lives? Do you have any idea how much effort and power it's taking out of New Hope to send our mental images this far?
Oh, pardon me while I weep bitter tears. I already told you once. I want nothing to do with the Oversoul. I am not the joining type. And stay out of our heads. You know better than any elves.
Oh, you always did overreact, Brett.
Crow Jane looked at him and Rose thoughtfully.
You've changed. Both of you. Your minds are bigger. More complex. Still pretty unpleasant, though. I feel like I need to take a bath in liquid soap.
We've both been through the madness maze. You just watch yourself, Oversoul.
Oh, we will, Brett. We must have a nice little chat later.
Do lunch. But I get to choose the menu. Fish, eh? Bastards.
What is he doing here? Isn't the situation complicated enough as it is without bringing a bloody ecstatic into it?
Weasels.
Excuse me. Am I supposed to understand this person? And what exactly is an ecstatic?
Well, it's a bit complicated, but I'll give it a go.
This should be bloody entertaining.
Or not.
There followed a long and rather confused conversation as people took it in turns to try to explain to Owen what an ecstatic was and why. And then why anyone had ever thought they were a good idea in the first place. Joy's attempts at explaining were particularly unhelpful.
That makes perfect sense when the past is where it should be.
Right. So the Espers are now the Oversoul, except the bad ones who are elves. I can't help thinking things were so much simpler in my day. All right, Crow Jane and Joy. What are you doing here?
We felt your return, Lord Deathstalker. Like a great voice crying out in the night. You shine too brightly to look at. That's why we originally chose to contact you through those two inferior minds.
To you.
Lewis, you must come to Mistworld. The Esper City of New Hope is currently in orbit above Mistworld, and the Oversoul wishes to offer its assistance in the war against Finn. We could not face him and his armies alone, but we would make formidable allies.
Mistworld is looking more and more like our best option. A solidly defended base for a gathering of allies.
Just like the old days, eh, Owen?
You won't be there. I see the past and the future, often more clearly than I see the present. But then, it's a poor memory that won't work both ways. I see you, Owen, plunging back into the past, into worlds and empires long forgotten. And then you're somewhere else, somewhere outside or inside the universe, and I can't follow you there. You have a long journey ahead of you, Deathstalker.
Can you tell me how it ends?
Journeys end in lovers' meetings. And then you both wake up, and it was all a dream. Or something like that. Has anyone got any chocolate?
They all waited a while, but he had nothing else to say. Joy just wandered over to one of the robots and tried to unscrew one of its legs.
Please stop that.
Crojane looked back at Owen.
Are all the dead coming back, Lord Deathstalker? Will all the legends be returning to help us in our hour of greatest need?
I doubt it. Dead is dead. I'm only here through a technicality, because no one else can stop the Terror. This is your war. You have to win it for yourselves, or the victory will mean nothing. This is your time. The past belongs in the past.
Yes, that's it exactly. Has everyone got their code?
Joy and Crojane disappeared, and everyone felt a little more at ease. Owen turned to Lewis to make his goodbyes, and then stopped as he suddenly noticed the black gold ring on Lewis's finger. He held out his own hand to show the ring he wore, and the two men held their hands side by side to compare the two rings. They were, of course, identical. Everyone looked on, quietly awed. The black gold ring was famous, as much a part of history and legend as the man who'd worn it.
A family ring. Sign and symbol of Deathstalker clan authority.
And there has only ever been one such ring. That's the point.
But it's the same ring. You only have to look at it to see that. How is this possible?
Owen looked at Lewis, who shrugged uncomfortably.
A gray-clad leper called Vaughn gave me the ring. He said it came from you. Except I'm pretty sure it wasn't really Vaughn. On the grounds that he's been dead for years.
Again, I smell the interference of a certain shape-changing alien. But there's no way he could get the ring unless I chose to give it to him. So, perhaps I will, at some time in my future, and your past. Time's a funny thing, with a distinct preference for circles.
Brett rubbed hard at his aching forehead.
Oh, can we please go to Mistworld? It's only full of terrible things like crime and intrigue and thuggery. Things I can understand.
Shut up, Brett.
Owen, are you sure you really want to do this? Time travel? Going back who knows how far into the past just so you can go head-to-head with the Terror alone? Couldn't you take some of us with you?
No, I wish I could. The whole business scares the spit out of me. But you're all needed here just as I'm needed there. I have to be going now before I start coming up with some really good reasons to put it off. So much to do, so much time to search through to do it in. I'm sorry we couldn't find the time to get to know each other better, Lewis. Do your best, and try not to worry so much. We'll do fine. You're a Deathstalker.
You can't go. I only just found you.
We've been waiting so long for you to come back, Owen. All humanity is waiting to welcome you back. You have always been our greatest hero. Everything we did for you. We built a golden age just to be worthy of you.
Stick around. Give the world a chance to get to know the real Owen.
No. I'd only be a disappointment.
And just like that, he was gone.